Well, 2017 has been quite a year for our family. So much so that we took a deep breath getting through Christmas and thought the rest of the year is going to be downhill, right? Until we ended up in the ER early Friday morning with Aaron having an issue, and then we went back to the ER later in the day on Friday. He's going to be okay, but I found myself yesterday saying, it's supposed to be easier than this. That point was just magnified when I got my first lesson on the snowblower because my husband wasn't able to do it. Ladies, if you have never done a snowblower before, it is not as easy as it looks. My dear husband in his snowsuit and his house slippers was trying to coach me from the garage, right? And if you push both buttons, the snow goes out and it goes forward, but the corners are really, really tricky. If you keep it moving, it runs away from you, and if you're not pushing the button, then you're breaking your back trying to get it around the corner. At every corner, my husband was yelling, "Don't fight it, just let it do its job." If we had a video of the whole thing, it would have gone viral, or at least would have been helpful in premarital counseling to let people know what they're signing up for the rest of their life, right? As I was doing this, as I was going through in the cold with the snowblower, I kept saying to myself, it's supposed to be easier than this. It's supposed to be easier than this. Maybe that's what I was telling myself throughout this entire crazy year of 2017. It's supposed to be easier than this. But the reality is, God never promised us that life would be easy. I challenge you to look in Scripture to find a verse that says life will be easy. It's not there. God doesn't promise us that life is going to be easy, but you know what He does promise us? That He will be with us. Emmanuel, God with us, what we've just celebrated in the birth of Jesus Christ through Christmas. But we move so quickly through Christmas and beyond, don't we? I mean, if you've been in the stores this week, you've seen that even the Christmas clearance racks are completely cleared out and Valentine's Day has already replaced it. It's like Christmas never happened. We move so quickly from the wonder and the awe of Emmanuel, God with us, perhaps too quickly. Maybe that's why my Christmas tree is still up. We got the perfect tree this year. We got it at Home Depot, of all places, but we spotted it almost from the parking lot. Our 7-year-old Rael said, "That's the one." And we stood it up, and it's beautiful. It's 8 feet tall. It's got soft needles. It stands straight. And I thought, we need the perfect topper for the perfect tree, right? So we couldn't just use the old star that we'd put on other trees. We needed a new star for this tree. So I found the perfect topper for the perfect tree. It's an illuminated star that not only lights up, but it shines stars on the ceiling above it that rotate. It's really, really cool. But there was one problem. The grip on the star and the perfect top to this tree weren't exactly compatible. And so when I got the perfect star and the perfect tree, it was crooked. And there's not much I could do about it. For the first few days, it really bugged me. In fact, I almost knocked over the perfect tree trying to get the star perfectly straight. And then the Holy Spirit began to whisper into my heart. And I decided that I liked my crooked star because it was a reminder to me. You see, I am a less than perfect person connected to a perfect and holy God. And even though I might be a little crooked, I may not be perfect, God still can shine His light through me and make something beautiful. So that's become my prayer as I enter into a new year. God, won't you shine your light through me into dark places? And enable me to bring your beauty to the mundane and daily grind of life. That's my prayer for 2018, that I can shine his light into dark places, that I can bring beauty into the mundane and daily grind of life, even though I am less than perfect. I am able to do that because I am connected to a perfect, holy, powerful, and capable God. So with that being my guideline, I've been praying this week about my New Year's workout plan. Now, it's not the workout plan you may think of. Some of you may be looking into the best deals on gym memberships, or maybe you've got the best new workout app on your phone. I'm thankful that I got a treadmill for Christmas. It really is what I wanted. Actually, it's Christmas and anniversary and Mother's Day and birthday all in one, right? It's all I'm getting this year, but I'm thankful for it. And I do have plans to use it, but that's not the workout plan I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual workout plan. The plan that God has for me to work out this prayer of shining his light and bringing his beauty. Well, we're going to take a look at two texts today, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, that is going to help me and hopefully help you as well make your workout plan for the new year. Will you join me in a word of prayer before we get into the word? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you indeed are Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we know that life isn't easy, but your presence makes all of the difference. God, may we not just leave one year and enter into the next flippantly. Help us to reflect well, to prayerfully consider what it is you desire to do in us and through us in the new year. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we move on, I do want to welcome in our brothers and sisters in Christ at our Nagpur campus. Can we welcome our Nagpur family? I also want to welcome in my Wyoming folks just across town. Hello, welcome. You're in good hands in my absence this morning. And I also want to welcome in all of those who are listening online or from the Juvenile Detention Center. We are so thankful that you are tuning in. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn first to Philippians chapter 2. Now, both of the texts that we're going to be in today, Philippians 2 and Isaiah 61, have a similar theme. And that is the incarnation of Christ, the coming of Christ as a human into this world out of God's love for us. Philippians 2 was looking back on the life and ministry of Christ. And Isaiah 61 is a prophecy looking forward to the life and ministry of Christ. Why is that instructive for us as we begin to contemplate our New Year's spiritual workout plan? It is instructive for us because it paints a picture of the life, the ultimate example that we are to follow as we are becoming Christ-like in our Christian journey. So turn to Philippians 2, starting at verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, if you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, as always, when we're studying scripture and a verse begins with the word therefore, we have to investigate what it's there for, right? Typically, we need to look at the verses that preceded it. So Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, is a doxology, a hymn, a poem that describes Jesus coming as a humble servant, Jesus living an exemplary life, Jesus dying on the cross, rising again, and being glorified in heaven. This whole story of Jesus is encapsulated in those verses 1 through 11. So in light of who Christ was and is, in light of what Christ has accomplished for us, we are commanded in verse 12 to work out your salvation. The kids' point on this is to keep trusting and obeying God. Now, this verse can easily be misconstrued if we don't read it carefully. It does not say that we are to work for our salvation. We know that our salvation is a gift freely given to us by Christ. Through grace, by faith, we are given this gift of salvation. There's nothing that we can work for to gain that gift. But working out our salvation is a different matter altogether. You see, what God has placed within us was never meant to be hidden, never meant to be private. It's to shine for the world to see. If Christ is in us, the world can and must know that to be true. Listen to what Charles Stanley says about this working out of our salvation. He says, so when Scripture says we're to work out our salvation, it means we need to reverently live out what's already been given to us. Your salvation should become an expression of Jesus' life wherever you are. As you work it out among your friends and family, on the job, in school, and even with strangers, God's Spirit will energize you to make a difference and impact others. Our salvation is a treasure given to us, and it is our responsibility to work it out so that others can see what is inside of us. Kind of reminds me of a gift that we got for Christmas. Have you seen these kits before? This is a rock and gem dig. And you get a sand block, and you get to dig to find the treasure. We did a dino dig earlier this week. How do you like that? We found all the little pieces. We put it together. It's missing a foot. I'm sure it's somewhere in my house, maybe under the tree. But we put this dino together. And when we started out with the dino, it was just like this rock and gem dig. Pretty unimpressive block of sand. Kids, you're in the room with us. Did you get something like this for Christmas? Maybe some of you have done this before. It's a science experiment, and we're supposed to be safe. So anytime that you're doing a mining project, you got to put the goggles on, right? So somewhere in this plain old block of sand, oh, here's a gem right here. Do you see it? See the beginnings of it? Are these gems? But it's a long and tedious process. Our girls, for hours, were banging at a plain old sand block just to find the bones in the dino dig. And you know what? This is much like what it is to work out our salvation. The process is called sanctification. And this sanctification, this working out our salvation, takes time. And it takes work. You see, God is chipping away at us. You know what he's chipping away? Our pride, our selfishness, our desire to do things our own way. And we can resist. If that sand block was any harder, I would be having a hard time finding the treasure. We can resist God's work in us, or we can cooperate with what he's doing so that his treasure in us can shine through. Listen to what it says in verse 13. About who does this hard work. Verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. According to this verse, who does the heavy lifting? God. God does the heavy lifting for us as we allow him to move in our lives. In response to what Christ has accomplished for us, cooperate with God's work in you. Kids, don't forget that God is at work in you. He's working inside of you. So our workout plan is not about our attempting to be a better person, to do better things. Our workout plan, at its very core, is a plan to cooperate with what God is already doing in us. I have a trivia question for you. For the average American, how much time passes? I'm not going to give you too much of a leading question. How much time passes before the average American gives up on their New Year's resolutions? What do you think? 3 weeks, a month, February 1st, 7 days, 1 week into the new year, January 8th, and hands start flying in the air, and they will say, it's not happening. You know why that is? So often when we set goals or when we determine a resolution, our motivation is pressure from the outside. We've got all this pressure in the media and from people in our lives to look better and to do better and to feel better. And anytime our motivation is pressure from the outside, we're going to fail. But when our motivation is power from the inside, God ensures our success. It's completely different. And I want you to think about that as you're making your spiritual workout plan for the new year. If your motivation is pressure from the outside, January 8th, you're going to be done. But if it is God's power from the inside at work within you, He will set you up to work out your salvation throughout the new year. God's Spirit is a gift to us. And through His Spirit, God gives us both the desire and the ability to bring His good pleasure to this world. You know, it's a lot like dancing in the Chambliss family. My husband, Aaron, is a wonderful dancer. He has rhythm. I do not. He has professional dance training. I do not. He has wowed audiences, big and small, with his moves, and I have not. But every once in a while, when we're at a wedding reception or a party, we end up dancing together, and for some reason, I feel instinctively compelled to lead, right? And so here's this amazing dancer with me, and it's this tug of war that happens on the dance floor, and I'm resisting his leading, and we're tripping over each other, and we get embarrassed. And he says, sometimes sweetly, sometimes out of desperation, just let me lead. Hold on to my hand, and I will make you look good, right? And when I do so, it's amazing. I just hold on to his hand, and I let him lead. I don't resist, and I'm a much better dancer when I'm connected to him than I could ever be on my own ability. That's how it is with the Holy Spirit. Life is a dance with the Holy Spirit. And we can choose to resist and do things our own way and end up tripping our way through life, or we can hold firmly onto the hand of God and allow the Holy Spirit to dance with us and make something beautiful out of our lives. It is up to us to cooperate with what God is doing in us. So Philippians 2 looks back, and it describes the life of Christ, and it gives us this charge to work out our salvation, to take it seriously that God is doing a work in us, and we are called to cooperate with Him in the process. But I don't know about you, but I often need an example, really tangible things. What does it look like for this salvation to be worked out? Exactly what kind of life is it that I am supposed to lead that will reveal this treasure within me? Now is when we go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is a beautiful prophecy that was fulfilled by Christ. And it's a prophecy that gets into the specifics of the kind of life and ministry that Jesus had that we are to emulate as we are becoming more like Him. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 61. I will note that Jesus Himself quoted this prophecy in Luke, describing the essence of His own ministry. So there's confirmation in the New Testament that this prophecy in the Old Testament indeed was about Christ the Messiah. And Jesus confirmed that and said, "This is what I'm about." Listen to Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow beauty on them, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." This prophecy fulfilled by Christ describes this ministry of deliverance that Jesus was about. He was both anointed or endorsed by God, and he was sent, given a mission by God to deliver those who are in bondage. This was short-term good news for the hearers of Isaiah's prophecy because they'd been in bondage for generations in exile to foreign rulers, and they needed hope that one day they would be set free. But it's long-term good news for all of God's people because all of us are in bondage to sin. All of us are prisoners of our own nature, and Jesus came that we might be set free. And not only are we free from something, not only has he freed us from this bondage, but he has freed us for something significant in this life. You see, in response to what Christ has accomplished for us, embrace the anointing placed upon you. The kid's point is hold on to God's plan for your life. The spirit that Jesus was anointed with in his life and in his ministry is the same spirit that lives within us as we are in relationship with him. And when we embrace this anointing given to us by the Spirit, when we walk in the truth and obedience of God, we can be described as oaks of righteousness. Isn't that a great picture? I want to be an oak of righteousness. I want my roots to go down deep. Not only as an oak of righteousness, but then as one that bears fruit for the kingdom of God. Who lives that kind of life? Who engages in this kind of ministry of comforting those who are mourning, of speaking the truth of judgment, of binding up the wounds of the brokenhearted? If that's what we're supposed to be about, who lives that kind of life? I was inspired this week by a story of someone who lived an amazing life to that end. His name is Father Damien. Have you heard of Father Damien? He was a saint, a priest from Belgium, of all places, and his older brother, also a priest, got a calling to go to Hawaii for ministry. Now, that sounds pretty good to me right about now, right? A calling to paradise. My brother's family's on vacation in Hawaii this week. We FaceTimed paradise yesterday. It looks pretty amazing. But Father Damien's older brother, for some reason, couldn't go. So he went in his place. And it wasn't a glorious calling at all. You see, in the late 1800s, leprosy had broken out in Hawaii. And it became such an issue that the government quarantined all the lepers on an island, on the island of Molokai. And they were declared dead when they left wherever they were in Hawaii and sent to this leper colony. And that's where Father Damien was sent. He was sent to be the caretaker of the lepers in the leper colony until they died in Molokai. Not only did he go, but he went with a passion. He went with a mission. He ate with the lepers. He cared for them. He made their coffins and he buried them. He developed leaders in the community. He created schools. He developed this island into something that was thriving for people who were dying. And 12 years into his work, he too contracted leprosy. He knew it when he spilled some scalding water on his arm and he couldn't feel anything. And at that point, he knew that he too had become a leper. Listen to what he said. He said, "I make myself a leper with the lepers to gain all to Jesus Christ." Now, God might be calling you to a leper colony, but God is calling you to be that kind of presence in your workplace, to be that kind of presence in your home. And it may come with a cost, but you've got the Holy Spirit at work within you, giving you both the desire and the ability to accomplish God's purposes in your life. Remember my prayer for 2018? Lord, let me be a light shining brightly where? In dark places. Let me bring your beauty where? Into the mundane, into the daily grind of life. And I don't pray that prayer flippantly because I wonder in the back of my mind what it's going to cost me. What's going to be demanded of me? Where is it going to take me out of my comfort zone that I might fulfill this mission that Christ has put me on? This mission of deliverance, this mission of setting people free, of binding up people's wounds. God hasn't just called me to this mission in this new year. He's called you too. Are you up to it? Whose broken heart can you bring comfort to? What words of truth and encouragement can you share? Who are the unlovable in our world that God is calling you to love? Now, here's the crazy thing. God could instantly make all things new in this world. He could make everything better with the snap of his fingers, and yet God, in his infinite wisdom, has chosen to partner with us to make the world a better place. We are optimistic at KCC that God is using us as agents to bring hope and holiness to a hurting world. Remember, he didn't just save us from something. God saved us for something. Listen to what it says in Isaiah verse 4. What will these oaks of righteousness do? They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. This prophecy is both literal and figurative. God's people, at the hearing of this, when Isaiah the prophet spoke their words to them, were returning from exile, and they found cities just completely ruined, temples devastated, walls that had crumbled. And God was reminding them that he had a mission for them to be on. But that mission was not isolated to that time in history. That's a mission that is passed along to us, that as the oaks of righteousness, as a people connected, less than perfect people, connected to a holy and powerful God, that he has called us to be in the business of rebuilding, restoring, and renewing that which is broken. So in response to what Christ has accomplished for us, resolve to pursue God's vision for the future. Kids, join God in making this world a better place. God is in the process of making all things new, and you know where he starts? He starts with your heart and with mine. And once he makes us new, he sets us on this mission to make all things new around us. And you know what? Every year, every month, every day, every moment matters. Is filled with opportunity to be part of this bigger plan. I've been reading an amazing book the last couple months called Tranquility by David Henderson. And in this book, he talks a lot about two different kinds of time. There's chronos time, which is just the passing of seconds and minutes and hours. And then there's kairos time. Kairos time are those God-saturated moments. Those moments in time where we are keenly aware of what God is up to and how he is using us. I don't want to just pass the time in 2018. I want my life to be filled with these kairos moments, these God-saturated moments where I'm aware of his presence and I'm making a difference with him. Here's what I think trips us up in all of this. Life gets messy and complicated. And we get so consumed with the complications in our own life that we disqualify ourselves from being part of God's mission, God's bigger plan. We think, oh, let me just get through this final exam. Okay, Lord, let me just get through this sports season. God, let me get through this health crisis or this relational conflict, and then I'll be about your mission in this world. But then the next crisis comes and the next sports season comes. In 2017, God has taught me that when life gets messy is when he can use me the best. It sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? But you see, when life gets busy, when life gets messy, when the crises come, when we get to the end of our own strength, we have a keen awareness of our dependence upon God, and that is right where God wants you to use you in significant ways. You don't have to be all polished up. Your act doesn't have to be completely together. Your life doesn't have to be easy in order to be part of God's bigger plan. He wants every moment to be a kairos moment, a God-saturated moment where we are so dependent upon him, so in tune with the moving of his Holy Spirit within us that we join him in making a difference in this world. The preamble to a poem by Minnie Louise Haskins captures the essence of what it is to trust God as we join him in pursuing his vision for us. I'd like you to hear it. It says this, "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I might tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better than a light and safer than the known way.' So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night." Church, this is the year. This is the year to rebuild what others have given up on, to restore something that seems beyond redemption, to renew something that has been shattered for generations. God is calling on us to take that which is destroyed, devastated, shattered, beyond hope, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, make it new. Are you up to the challenge? Now, it's been said that we overestimate what we can accomplish on multiple fronts, and we underestimate what can be accomplished with a singular focus. Now, for some of you, you have goal-setting days, and you make all kinds of goals in all kinds of areas of your life, and that's all good. But for today's sake, I have a singular challenge for you as you head into the new year. And it is this. I want you to prayerfully decide your workout plan for 2018 by choosing one thing that you can partner with God to rebuild, restore, or renew. What is that one thing? Now, I think if just for my own life, wow, if at the end of next year at this time, if I could look back and see one big thing that God and I tackled together, that we made kingdom progress on, that made a difference in my life, in the life of others in my family, maybe even in the lives of people around the world, I would feel so fulfilled. It would be so exciting to see that kingdom progress. Now think about this. What if everyone in our church accomplished one big thing with the help of God? There would be things renewed, rebuilt, and restored all over Kentwood, all over Wyoming, all over Nagpur, all over this world in a year's time. Think of what we can accomplish with a singular focus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So I challenge you, prayerfully consider, what is it that God is calling you to do with his help this year? I'd like to pray about that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the life and the example of Jesus Christ, God, that we can know what we are to be about as you make us more and more like him. God, forgive us when we use the distractions and the messiness of life as an excuse. Lord, thank you for the reminder in Philippians that it is really you doing the work in us. And we just need to cooperate with you. We need to listen to you. We need to not operate in our own strength, but operate out of your power, because you are counting on us as your people to make all things new. Lord, I pray that you inspire us, compel us, motivate us to get beyond our own needs and our own desires and see what is hurting and broken in this world and tackle it with enthusiasm, faith, and confidence, God, that you will accomplish it. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.